بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص رضي الله عنه أنه سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا سمعتم المؤذن فقولوا مثل ما يقول ثم صلوا علي، فإنه من صلى علي صلاة صلى الله عليه عشرة، ثم سلوا الله لي الوسيلة، فإنها منزلة في الجنة لا تنبغي إلا لعبد من عباد الله، وأرجو أن أكون أنا هو، فمن سأل لي الوسيلة حلت عليه الشفاعة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، رواه مسلم وأبو داود والترمذي. عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله عنهما narrates that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, when you hear the muadhin, say as he says. When you hear the muadhin, when you hear the adhan, say as he says, then invoke blessings upon me. Recite Durood Sharif. Whoever invokes blessings upon me, Allah Azza wa Jal will confer 10 blessings upon him. So the first thing to do upon hearing the adhan is, what do you do the first thing when the muadhin finishes the adhan? First thing you do is recite salat, recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the first thing you do. Then you read the dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wat al-qa'imah wa salatin nafi'ah. Then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant me the wasila. For it is a station in paradise which is reserved for only one servant of Allah. And I hope that I am this servant. Thus whoever asks that I be granted the wasila, my intercession is assured for him. Subhanallah. This hadith is reported by Imam Muslim, Abu Dawud and Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah. The meaning of the hadith is that intercession is guaranteed for this person, as mentioned in other ahadith. In a narration of Sahih al-Bukhari, it is narrated that the intercession of the Noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam becomes assured for the person who hears the call to prayer, adhan, and then says, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'imah, aati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and the prayer being established, Lord of the prayer being established, grant Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the wasila and virtue, and raise him to the paradise, to the praise station that you have promised him. Sayyidina Abu Darda radhiyallahu anhu narrates that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would also recite the following supplication after the call to prayer. He would read it loud enough that it was audible to the person next to him. So what would he say? He would say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi da'wati tamma wa salati al-qa'imah, صلي على محمد وآته سؤله يوم القيامة. So now this has inbuilt durood in it. O Allah, Lord of this perfect call and prayer being established, send blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and grant him his prayers on the Day of Judgment. Allama Sakhavi rahmatullah alayh has highlighted this point through a number of narrations. He narrates on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you invoke blessings upon me, supplicate that I be granted the wasila too. The person asks, what is the wasila? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, it is a lofty station in paradise that will be granted to one person only, and I hope I am that person. Inshallah, now we recite 40 durood, and then inshallah we'll read some stories about Ahl Bayt. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سلام على عباده الذين اصطفى سلام على المرسلين اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وانزل المقد المقرب عندك اللهم رب هذه الدعوة القائمة والصلاة النافعة صل على محمد وارض عني رضا لا تسقط بعده أبدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت ورحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد النبي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذريته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم ترحم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما ترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم تحنن على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما تحننت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم سلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما سلمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد وبارك وسلم على محمد وعلى آل محمد وارحم محمد وآل محمد كما صليت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك كما صليت على آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على آل إبراهيم اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد صلاة تكون لك رضا وله جزاء ولحقه أداء وعاطه الوسيلة والفضيلة والمقام المحمود الذي وعدته واجزه عنا ما هو أهله واجزه أفضل ما جازيت نبيا عن قومه ورسولا عن أمته وصل على جميع إخوانه من النبيين والصالحين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد النبي الأمي وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم صل علينا معهم اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى أهل بيته كما باركت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك علينا معهم صلوات الله وصلوات المؤمنين على محمد النبي الأمي اللهم اجعل صلواتك ورحمتك وبركاتك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما جعلتها على آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله على النبي الأمي 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 التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات لله الطيبات الصلوات لله السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله التحيات المباركات الصلوات الطيبات لله. سلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، سلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أسأل الله الجنة وأعوذ بالله من النار. التحيات الزاكيات لله، الطيبات الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. بسم الله وبالله خير الأسماء، التحيات الطيبات الصلوات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا، وأن ساعة آتية لا ريب فيها. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم اغفر لي واهدني. التحيات الطيبات والصلوات والملك لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله، التحيات لله، الصلوات لله، الزاكيات لله. السلام على النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. شهدت أن لا إله إلا الله، شهدت أن محمد رسول الله. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات، الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات الطيبات، الصلوات، الزاكيات لله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات، الصلوات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، والسلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. التحيات لله، الصلوات الطيبات، والسلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. التحيات المباركات، الصلوات الطيبات لله. السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته، السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله، 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 بسم الله والسلام على رسول الله. I think we'll just finish with dua quickly, so those of you who want to leave, you can leave, and the others who want to stay, inshallah, they can stay, and we'll go through some stories about Ahl Bayt. And this is important to learn about Ahl Bayt. I know some of you are not comfortable with English. Kuch saathi aap mein se English ke saath comfortable nahi hai, mujhe andaaza hai. Lekin ye masail jo hain, ye unko janne ki zyada zarurat hai jo Urdu nahi samajhte. Because these issues of aqeedah and our basics, our foundation of our deen, our children, they are in more need to learn about this. Bachon ko zyada seekhne ki zarurat hai. Jo Urdu nahi bolte, unko seekhne ki zyada zarurat hai. Isliye hum inko English mein hi karte hain. Mujhe pata hai ki aap mein se baaz saathi is par comfortable nahi hain. Lekin bahrhal hum dua kar lete hain, taaki jinko jana hai, wo ja sakein sahulat se. Lekin koshish kijiye ki Durood Sharif apna padhein hafte mein. Aur wo, mashallah, main to hairan raha. Hum to samajh rahe the ki mashallah, hamare Leicester wale bahut aage ja rahe hain. 1 billion, 2 billion kar lete hain saal mein. لیکن میں تو حیران رہ گیا. وقت میں اس پہ لکھا تھا 800 ملیار، not million, ملائین، 800 ملیار. How much is ملیار, ڈاکٹر صاحب؟ It's a billion, isn't it? 800 ملیار, it said, سبحان اللہ. Arabic, yes. So 800 ملیار, I was, that's a staggering figure. 800 ملیار, mashallah. And this is in Dimashq, Syria. This is in, mashallah, in UAE. We feel that UAE is very modern. لیکن مسلمان جو وہاں کے ہیں, the Muslims there, they have this محبت with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those who are genuinely, mashallah, they have genuine iman and Islam in them, they are not happy with the way the society is heading. So they can't do much, so at least what they can do is find refuge in Durood Sharif, invoking peace and blessing from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in abundance. Inshallah, inshallah, the better times lie ahead. Inshallah, things will brighten up. But this is, at least we need to engage in something that is useful, that is blessed, something that is beneficial. To un logon ne durood sharif mein refuge talash kiya, hum logon ko bhi kuch karna chahiye inshaallah. Dua kar lete hain. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin was salatu was salam ala sayyidil mursalin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها أعلى الدرجات، وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا، ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا، ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. So inshallah we were talking about Sayyida Fatima الزهراء رضي الله عنها. How many of you know who's Fatima رضي الله عنها? Raise your hands. Who's Fatima? Who's Fatima? Third? Fatima was third? There's a question here. Was she the third? What do you think, Ismail? I'm going to leave and run. I'm going to give the whole year and the whole year and you don't even know whether it was third or the fourth. Why? Anybody else? How many daughters did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam have? Oh, mushkil sawal. How many? Ismail? Four. Is it somebody else said or? So does anyone remember their names? The four daughters of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibita. Zainab is the eldest. Umm Kulsum. Okay. Anha. Ruqayya comes second. Okay. The eldest is Zainab, then is Ruqayya. And then who's older, Umm Kulthum or Fatima? There's a difference of opinion. Some say, the established opinion is that she's Umm Kulthum is the third. Others say that maybe Fatima is third. Because Fatima radiallahu anha was, her nikah took place before the nikah of Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha. She was given nikah to Ali radiallahu anha. Her nikah took place earlier, before the nikah of Umm Kulthum. So some say Umm Kulthum is the youngest. Others say that Fatima radiallahu anha was the youngest. Anyway, so Fatima radiallahu anha, we were talking about her. We talked about all the other three daughters. So, Fatima radiallahu anha, we talked about some important key events in her life. We also talked about what happened to her. There is this false accusation. That there's a false, some fabricated stories. Do you know people tried to forge verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem? The people tried to make verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem which weren't really verses. They tried to fake ayats of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Do you know this happened? People attempted to fake verses of the Qur'an al-Kareem. Do you know that people tried? There was a guy whose name was Musaylimah. He's known as Musaylimah al-Kadhab. Okay. He claimed to be a Nabi after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his lifetime, he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Allah happily," and he was from a tribe that was very powerful, Banu Hanifa. Musaylimah Yamama, they say as well. So he comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He came from this, so he thought his tribe was quite strong. So he says, he put an offer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Ya Rasulullah," he said, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm happy to give my oath to you and become a believer and pronounce Islam, provided that you give me one of the two. I have two conditions. One of the two, I accept either. One is that you make me a partner in Nubuwwat. Okay, we both share the title of being a Nabi. So you be a Nabi of the villages and I be the Nabi of the cities. Or you be Nabi of the cities and I be a Nabi of the villages, village folk. That's one. And if you're not happy with it, you do not want me to make me a partner in Nubuwwat, then what you do is that nominate me as your successor. So when you pass away, I will succeed you in Nubuwwat and in this title. the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the time by chance he was carrying a branch of a palm tree. He said, if you were to ask me for this dry branch of a palm tree for your Islam, I won't even give this to you. If you want to pronounce your Islam, do it for your own benefit. If you ask in return for this dry branch of the palm tree, I won't even give this to you for your Islam. So simply he said, I don't care about your Islam. If you want to do it for the sake of Allah, do it. If you're not interested, don't do it. What is this that I make you a Nabi, or I make you a partner in Nabi, or I appoint you my successor? This belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal, not me. So he became very annoyed and he left, and then he declared to be a Nabi himself. And then he started faking verses of the Quran Kareem. So as the Prophet, they'd say, oh, he decides Quran. So he would come up with silly verses. I don't remember all of them, some really pathetic verses. And then he would hear about the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That someone came with a sore eye. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied his blessed saliva on the eye, and the eye was cured and healed. And there was a dry well where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dropped his saliva, and the mashallah, it was filled with water. And other. So what he did, he tried to do the same. So someone came to him and he said that my eye is sore. So he applied his saliva. Earlier the eye was sore, now he lost the eyesight. He became blind. He went to another place where there was a dry well. He said, okay, there's very little water here. So he dropped his saliva and it dried altogether. The little water that was there, even that finished. So it became a joke. And then he tried to make verses of the Quran Kareem. And there are more stories. But someone literally attempted to make, falsify verses of the Quran Kareem. And he wasn't the only person. Other people tried it as well. Recently, in the past two, three decades back, there was a famous concern that was widespread concern amongst Muslims, that someone had made a Quran similar to the Quran, and he'd called it Al-Furqan. So all the verses were in terms of rhyming, he would try to rhyming phrases, and he thought that this is he's presented as a Quran, but that's not possible. And so many other attempts. And during the time of the time of Harun Rashid, I think, when Islam started spreading, people tried to do this. Someone came to Harun and he said, I added fake sentences into Tawrat, and I took it to the Jews and I sold it to them as genuine Torah, and they couldn't figure it out that I had added verses into it. I added verses into Injil and I took it to the Christians and I sold it to them as a real Injil, and they all bought it and they weren't able to figure out that I had added sentences into it. And I tried to do the same with the Quran, but whenever I would take it to someone, they would figure it out and spot it instantly, and it wouldn't work. So thus I realized that you are the bearers of the truth. So here I pronounce my shahada, ashadu an la ilaha illallah, ashadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. So people really, they made real effort to alter the verses of the Quran Kareem and add verses into it. And then people also tried to fabricate ahadith, invented the hadith of the Prophet, added a hadith. So there are, even now, you have hadith, and someone would read something to you and a scholar would say, this is a fake one, this is a fabricated one, this is a mawdu, la asla lahu, it has no origin. And there are fake ahadith. And there is fake information, fake news. Everything has fake. So there's a real part and there's a fake part. And the fake part is added for their personal gains. Enemies try to do this. Misinformation is called. Disinformation it is called. They try to kind of confuse you. They want to confuse you. They do not want you to know the reality, what really happened. Sometimes they intentionally give misleading information. Usually when the thieves or robbers, when they come and steal something, they leave clues behind intentionally to kind of fool the investigators. So they would take the wrong approach. So this is done intentionally by those who have mastered the art of robbery, etc. So fake information is a concern. Similarly, when people tried to fake verses of the Quran Kareem, they tried to fake hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also tried to add fake account of historical incidents of history, things that did not happen, they claim to have happened. I'll give you an example. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah is a famous scholar of hadith. He's a famous. His name is mentioned frequently, and he was a master in mashallah in so many different fields. I think 7th century he lived in. And they said during his time, And like other ulama, he was very prominent. But because he came in the 7th century, he cannot be compared against those who were in the 1st century, like Imam Abu Hanifa, 2nd century, Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, 3rd century, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, rahimahullah. They were the masters. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was a prominent scholar, but he came much later. However, he was a master, mashallah, in so many different ways. He had the title Shaykh al-Islam. So they were, during his time, they say some Jewish tribes, a group of Jewish, a delegate came to the Khalifa. And they said that this particular land in that region, wherever it was in Arabia, they said this land was given to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. He said, where is the proof? He said, here is the proof. And they brought a statement which apparently was signed by on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and 10 other Sahaba's name were added to it as a witness. They said, this is a statement we found in the books of whatever we received from our elders, and it clearly states that this area belongs to us Jews. You cannot forcefully take it from us. They looked at it. Now there was the name of apparently there's a seal of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad Rasulullah, and there are signatures and there are names of 10 prominent Sahaba, Abu Bakr, Umar, another 10 Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and there's a date given as well. And they said, okay, fine. And now Khalifa couldn't say a thing. How can I say that this is not true? This is a statement and it's signed by prominent Sahaba and it's there. And it's, how can I say that this is fake? So invited, he asked ulama to help. And I think Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah was one of the scholars he invited as well. And Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, okay, give me the statement and I'll return it to you in the morning. Let me study it properly. So they gave it to him. And next day he comes and he says, 100% this is a fake one. This is not a real one. It's fake. It's not original. He said, how can you say that? Where is the evidence? He said, out of these 10 Sahaba whose names are here, 2 of them had passed away before the date that's given here. 2 of the Sahaba, their names are here, they had passed away before this date. So it's not, did they come up from their graves and sign the document? How is this even possible? And he mentioned their names and he said, so these attempts were made throughout the history. Throughout the history, such attempts were made. When it comes to the life of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, there are some stories which are totally fake. It's not possible that they could have ever happened. For example, there's a story that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, they forcefully entered the house of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, and she wasn't happy, and they put the house on fire. The door was burnt and they forcefully tried to enter and the door dropped on Sayyidah Fatima Zahra radiallahu anha, and she was expecting at the time, she was pregnant, and it caused injury to her, and unfortunately the pregnancy, saqit ho gaya hamal, and it's a very painful account and gets drummed. Okay, they made a movie around it as well. A movie, and this is propaganda war. We live through in a propaganda war. So just like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah looked at the bigger picture and said this is not possible, we look at the bigger picture, and when we study the bigger picture, we can see obviously that this is not possible. What is the bigger picture? The bigger picture is that Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha lived for only 6 months after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Only 6 months. She was the first person from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have died. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told her during his lifetime, that you, amongst my relatives, you'll be the first one to join me. And during those 6 months, the turmoil, widespread turmoil in Medina was such that it's not possible at all that Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu could have ever found such space and such opportunity to take on some internal or create any internal rift. At the time, Medina was so insecure that the Murtadeen, those who denounced Islam, and the enemies, those who weren't happy with Abu Bakr radiallahu, Sahaba radiallahu anhu, establishing that order, they said, we are not going to pay zakat to Medina. We will keep our zakat to ourselves, etc. People who had rebelled, they had made entry into Medina and fight. They were having fist fighting and they were exchanging, one-to-one fights in the streets of Medina. This was happening. And who was fighting on behalf of Muslims? Ali radiallahu anhu was one of them. Ali radiallahu anhu was fighting alongside Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the other family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and other Muslims, because they were the main Muslims. Umar radiallahu anhu was there busy. So Ali radiallahu anhu was busy, Umar radiallahu anhu was busy, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was busy, and these guys were fighting literally, and they were, the Medina would become under attack and they would have to go and repel and push them out. They would chase them. They were only able to establish order a year after the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So after first year was a very difficult year in Medina. It's not possible. It's not possible when there's enemy standing at the door and in the outside of Medina, in the boundaries, you would create a rift inside. This is not possible. So if you look at the bigger picture, these are all false accounts. Sab jhooti baatein hain. Sab jhoote kisse hain. And secondly, the other is, how is it possible that people who were not loyal to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, within the short space of 25 years, they took Islam to the far corners of the world. They subdued Byzantine rulers. They subdued the Persian rulers. And they were the giants, the powerful armies at the time. Do you think that Sahaba radiallahu anhum could have brought them down and could have overwhelmed them without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's impossible. It's impossible. Arabia was abandoned by the civilized world at the time, because they were not civilized at all. The civilization of Arabia comes from the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, they say, they used to mention these accounts as pathetic. You know, just like when I said about this guy faking verses and his fake miracles or attempts to perform miracles, and then they're firing back on him. The same Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani. When during his time, they said prophets. So he liked to prophesize, and he made so many prophecies. But whenever he'd make a prophecy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would prove him to be a liar. There was a woman that he wanted to marry, and he pretended to be like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha radiallahu anha, he wanted to marry her, but her parents weren't happy at all. Said no, but he insisted that he was like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was meant to be like Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, Allah has declared her my wife in the heavens, and if you get her, if you marry her anyone else, she will die in a year, and he will die, the man will die in a year. So they didn't care at all. So they married their daughter to that person, whoever he was. They knew he's a liar. We were not bothered. And she lived for almost 50 years after he'd passed away. Almost 50 years. One of Manzoor Chaniyoti, rahimahullah, says, I visited her in 1950s. And she was alive, 40, 43. He died, I think, in 1906 or 1908. So about 42, 44 years after his death, one of Manzoor Chaniyoti says, I went and visited her and she was still alive. And her husband passed away about 30 years after Mirza Ghulam Ahmad Qadiani's death. And this is just one example, and there are many more. May Allah Ta'ala give us hidayat. So similarly, when it comes to Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, there are so many false and fake stories. So many false and fake stories. We need to be aware that this is not true. Now Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, how many children did she have? So I've pointed that out. Moving on. I talked about her demise previously before Hajj, and now we're talking about the children of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha. Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha had two daughters, and she had two or three sons. Okay. The two famous children, the boys, are Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. People refer to them as Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. To call them Imam is fine. They are Imams. They are our leaders. But the problem with that is that the Shia, when they call someone an Imam, their reference, Imam to them is a very specific title, which is like a Nabi. So Imam is someone who receives wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just like a Nabi receives wahi from Allah ta'ala. So a Nabi gets visited by Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. He brings to him divine messages, instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Shia, Imam is someone who's like a Nabi. He receives messages from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and divine wahi and divine instructions. To an extent that they claim that Sayyida Fatima al-Zahra radiallahu anha, she used to receive divine instructions from Allah azza wa jal direct, and Sayyida Jibreel used to pay her a visit. Which is not true. She is very respectable. She is beloved and dear to the Muslim Ummah. The Prophet ﷺ loved her, but she was not a Nabiya. And they have something called Mushaf-e Fatima or a Sahifa-e Fatima, in which they gather, they claim that in that kitab, in that book, the wahi that was given to Sayyida Fatima radhiyallahu anha was recorded. Astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa al hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayh. And then they say that Ali radhiyallahu anhu was an imam of a similar caliber. He would receive his visits from Sayyida Jibril alayhi salam. And then they say Hussein radhiyallahu anhu was also imam. So they say 12 verses. Okay. The prominent one among Shia now is that they believe in 12 imams. And one of them is Hussein as well. They do not believe in Hassan radiallahu anhu. Why? They don't declare him as amongst the 12. We'll talk about it later, inshallah. But they say that these were imams. So the problem arises when we refer to them imam as like Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam al-Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad al-Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, or Masjid's imam. So to us, imam is a leader. Okay, he leads us, leads the congregation. He's an authority, but he does not receive any divine instructions. He does not have any such divine appointment. He's just a social arrangement that we take someone as our leader, as a respected ustaz. So we use the term imam for an ustaz, for a teacher, for a respectable individual, but we do not consider the imam that we refer to as someone who has a divine appointment. Like we don't say Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was appointed by the Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal as the imam. And if someone doesn't agree with him, he'll become kafir. No, we don't believe that. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah was an ustaz. He was a teacher. He was a learned person. And he explained the Quran and Sunnah to us. And his explanation is very, mashallah, authentic, very genuine. If you agree to it, you can follow it as your school. If you don't agree to it, it's fine. You follow another imam. You follow Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, perfectly fine. You will not be at a lower stage in Jannah, a Shafi'i or a Maliki or a Hanbali or Hanafi. If they are taqwa, if they are pious, according to their taqwa, and according to them, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they'll get their status in Jannah. It's not that by being Hanafi, you'll get a higher stage and Shafi'i will not. Whoever is sincere in his conduct and his conduct meets the standard of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whoever has more taqwa, he'll be higher in Jannah. So in terms of their practice, they're all the same. So Imam Abu Hanifa didn't have a divine appointment, nor did the other three imams. But they claim that Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma were appointed by the divine, and Ali radiallahu anhu was appointed by the divine. So they say Imam Ali, and they say Imam Hussein, Imam Hassan in that sense. And that makes it difficult for us. We want to call them Imam. We want to say Imam Hassan. We want to say Imam Hussein, because if we can say Imam Abu Hanifa, why can't we say Imam Hassan or Imam Ali? But we then ask them, if we call Imam Ali, why don't you call Imam Abu Bakr? Why don't you call Imam Umar? Why don't you call Imam Usman? Why is it that you only say Imam Ali and not Imam Abu Bakr, Imam Umar and Imam Usman? So that is where the issues of understanding come in. And this is why sometimes we try to avoid calling these elders as imams. So we would say Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein, Sayyidina Ali, Karramallahu wajhu wa ridwanullahi ajma'in. We say this to not confuse our children, so they do not get confused. Imam is imam as a respected figure, but imam is not someone who has a divine appointment by Allah. Anbiya received, the prophets received a divine appointment, and our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was the last of the messengers, and when he passed away after him, there is no further instruction from Allah the Almighty in form of wahi or divine revelation to any human being. You can have some dreams, like istikhara. You make istikhara dua and you go to sleep and you have a dream. That is some kind of divine clue, divine instruction. That is something which as a person, as an individual, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you. But your dream is not binding upon me or upon anyone else. That's between you and between your creator. Perfectly fine. But not to anyone else. In fact, if your dream doesn't meet the standard of Shariat, then your dream is rejected. In your dream, you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who's authorizing you to sell drugs, or he gives you permission to go and listen to qawwali, or he gives you permission to go and sing and dance. He gives you permission to go and fool around with women. So does that become halal for you? No, it does not become halal for you to do it. Because the Shariat is binding. The Quran and Sunnah is binding. Maybe you didn't understand the instruction of the Prophet ﷺ in your dream properly. Who knows? So if in your dream sometimes you do not understand the way things are said. Like your father says to you, your father says, son, go and study. You say, I'm not going to study. Okay, then what does the father say? Okay, go and do what you like. What does that mean? Go and do what you like. What does that mean? Does that mean he's given you permission to do whatever you like? No. He's angry with you now. He says, go and do what you like and you will face the consequences. So maybe the Prophet ﷺ in your dream, he said, go and drink and you will see the consequences, or go and do whatever you like. So in that sense, it's not permissible, it's not halal. So istikhara is something that requires an interpretation, a ta'bir. Dreams require interpretation, ta'bir. Other than that, there is no divine wahi, divine revelation after the Prophet ﷺ to any individual. Whether he's Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar radiallahu anhu, Usman radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, Hassan radiallahu anhu, Hussein radiallahu anhu, or any other sahabi or any other alim, they do not receive divine instructions. So this is why sometimes we are careful when we say Sayyidina Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu. So I think it's coming to the end. Inshallah, we'll continue next week. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الله اغفر لنا ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يبلغنا إلى حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من نفوسنا وأهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين آمين برحمتك.